Do you know, we're starting today talking about our vision, our big adventure, big bold adventure God is asking us to be part of. A light on a hill, transforming our community one person at a time. I'm stood below a sign that says light of the world. And you know, there's an element of what I'm bringing this morning. It's going to get personal. It's going to ask about your own lives and about your own journey. It's me today, a light. Not I'm wearing a light, I'm going to share about a light. Next week it's John Andrews talking about on a hill. The week after, Sue Stokes talking about transforming our community. And the week after, Ato Ezra Ezrian talking about one person at a time. You know, our Jesus, our Saviour, is the light in our world. I don't know whether you've ever ask Jesus into your life, and if you have, what that means to you this morning. But I want to encourage you at the end of this time together, I'm going to ask you whether you want to accept him as your Lord and Saviour. Just mull that over as the meeting's going on. Have you seen a sign, perhaps on a car, or you've just heard it, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas? Have you ever heard that? Oh, come on. Yes, you have. Well, Jesus Christ, for some people, is just for Christmas. But that's not true. Is for life. Does anyone want a puppy? I've not got a puppy, by the way. Now, you're hard work this morning. The first were a lot better in reacting and responding. But you know, sometimes we can come to a new year and we can say words to the effect of, this year is going to be different. This year, I'm going to make different decisions. You know, right at the beginning of the Bible, right at the onset, in Genesis 1, 3 to 4, it says these words, let there be light, and there was light. God saying light was good, and separating it from light and darkness. So right at the concept of creation, there's a defined drawn line, not in the sand, but just on our planet. The earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep. I don't know about you, but that can be a picture of our own lives. Before I asked Jesus into my life, I thought I had life into the full. But actually, I wasn't. And I wasn't living in that light. I was living in darkness. And there comes a time when we got to understand that this life that we're living needs definition. And that definition for me is Jesus Christ. You know, the very definition of light is this, is a natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. God supernaturally sent his son. We heard about it over Christmas as a baby in a manger, growing to a young man, 30 years of age, bringing his ministry. The end of his ministry, just 3 short years, he goes back to be with his father in heaven, dying on the cross and coming to life after 3 days, resurrection, that we might have life and life to the full if we would put our hands in his hand. We've heard this scripture around stadiums, football stadiums, and seen it wrote on billboards. And it's John 3:16. Let me remind you, for God so loved the world, me and you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you know, many, many times in the last year, 2016, I read John 14:6. And it's Thomas, one of the disciples, speaking to Jesus. I read this at funerals. And it says these words, Lord, this is Thomas speaking, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered with these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would also know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I said earlier about, have you made that acknowledgement in your own life? A light on a hill. Transforming our community one person at a time. Do you know, let's make this personal for a moment. Talking about a light on the hill, I could talk about us, a fork in the road, strategically placed as a building, loads of traffic coming by. I could talk about us being a congregation of over 1,000 people. I could talk about Jobs Club and over 100 people going through the doors there. CAP, Oasis, Youth. Us bursting at the seams at the church tots over Christmas, 160 people attending with their children, the room not big enough to contain anymore. The Bridge Cafe coming soon, servicing and loving our community. So we're a beacon of light in a strategic place, drawing all to safety. I could talk about the three carol services that we had over Christmas, each one packed, this room packed. Or Hamad, a young man from Aleppo, who actually at one of those carol services stood up here and got involved in one of the games, having a bit of fun, a bit of light in the darkness that which is his home city of Aleppo, and his family strewn about the world. I could talk about Pete Majin sharing last week about everyone's welcome. And during communion, we had different nationalities serving communion, and just a few of the flavours of our family. We had USA, Nigeria, Brazil, Ireland and Iran, but we've also got a lot more nationalities serving us. A beautiful picture of all that God's doing. Over 1,000 Bibles given out. But I said, let's make this personal, didn't I? Do you know, 1 week into 2017, that's all we are, near enough. Is it the 8th today? 1 week into the new year. At New Year's Eve, the men's prayer meeting over at the offices, I talked to the men about a word, and it was the word intention. You see, we start the new year with an intention. And the intention can be very simple. I'm going to do things differently. The intention could be that we're going to put God first in our lives and that we're going to serve him wholeheartedly. Has anyone done that this year? Just said to themselves, no, this year is going to be different. Some people might say, well, it's only 24 hours. What difference does it make? It means a lot of difference in your relationship and walk with God. Matthew 5:13-16, Sue's already mentioned it. We're called to be a light. You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, I've already mentioned that light influences darkness. It separates and influences everything around it. But I want to challenge you this morning, as I've challenged myself, intentions without actions is dead. It's just a great thought, perhaps till next year. Do you know, 2016 in January, John Squires, one of our ministers, asked us in staff to write down on a piece of paper our hopes before God for 2016. And I got that piece of paper and I wrote things down, and then I got busy with 2016. John gave it us back. Thanks, John. At the end of the year. And amongst other things, I put things like a deep relationship with God, allowing God to speak to me, me giving him time and room and space to do that. Then, in December, John's given me the note, remember, I go for an eye test, and the eye test shows something up, a lesion or a shadow on my left eye, which is serious. I've had cancer before, so they're taking it serious quite rightly. But in the midst of that, it says I've got dangerously high blood pressure. Anyone else got dangerously high blood pressure? I had 16 days that I didn't take last year as holiday because I had a lot to do. Anyone a bit like that? You're just too busy. There's so much to do. My intentions at the start of the year was this. I'm going to spend more time with you, God. I'm going to give time and space and room. Yet I've just had a report that says different. Now, we've done something about it. Anna, my beautiful wife, has already booked a holiday. Hip, hip. Yeah, it's a really nice holiday. I know I'm eating healthy. Oh, no, that's not good. It's not like you can have a full breakfast. I'm not on statins yet, you see, because my cholesterol is high, and they're saying they're going to give me 3 months. I don't know if that's to live or what, but they're going to give me 3 months to change my heating habits. So now, let me get this. I said the wrong word. What do I eat? I said Advocar, and that's apparently an alcoholic drink. An avocado mixed with what? Ginger, kale, ginger, yes, spinach, all good stuff, and all tastes foul. Anna came to me this morning before the meeting. She says, oh, here, I've made you something. It looked vile. And she said, it's got porridge in. And it was still awful. It was awful. It was lovely, darling. But I had to change my habits, and I have to change my habits. So my intentions at the start of last year actually didn't progress in the way that they should have done because I was busy doing God's work. It says in the Word of God that some physical is of good benefit. but spiritual is what we're looking for also. Just talking about us as a local church, you know, we have a thing called gift aid. You can say to yourself, I intended to gift aid. If you're a tax earner, don't intend to do it, do it. I'd ask you the question, do you give? Well, I intended to, but I've got a lot of bills. I intended to get involved in that ministry, but if you knew how busy I was in my life. And then it goes on, I intended to sort that relationship out, that person I'd not spoke to for many years, but it just didn't work out. Just let me encourage you with something about this. My mum, who's passed away now last year, had a sister, Joan, Auntie Joan, and they fell out. Some of you know the story. But they fell out over nothing when I was a young lad at 10 or 12, and they never spoke. My mum passing away without ever reconciling. If you're one of those people in here who've not got a friendship or relationship and you need to sort it, don't intend to do it. Act it out and do it. I intended to consider the friendships that I'm involved in because some of them are not good. Intentions. What about our personality? What about our intentions in that? The Apostle Paul in Romans 7:15 says this. Perhaps this is you this morning. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. You ever do what you hate to do and you kick yourself and you say, I don't know why I keep going back and I do this thing, but I just do. I'm the manager of Bridge Football FC and I'm a passionate manager. And the football team give me high blood pressure because they're not on a winning streak. We lost yesterday 5-1, but I kept calm. But I sometimes leave after a football match and I feel, oh, my banter has gone a bit too far. Now, banter's not wrong in itself, but I just feel, was that helpful? Was that really the best that I've given there? And the team know this, I'll go back to them and perhaps the week after, if it's the opposition, which it usually is, I'll go and speak to the manager after and I'll be as gracious as I can. But I understand this. That sometimes that we do things. I won't even get on to driving. Go on, nudge someone and say, that's you. Go on, Alicia, nudge him. Or is it the other way around? Yeah. So there's an element of us that we need to take control and take responsibility for our actions. Now, I'm being vulnerable here, but it says this in 1 Peter 2:9. Think about yourself. Think about your church. Think about your life. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. A light that influences, a light that declares praises to our God. You know what? You're a light wherever you go. You set the tone wherever you go. Now, I understand this, that we're all different. You can look at Prince William and Prince Harry. Prince William is more of a gentle character. Prince Harry, I think I'm a bit more like. But they both influence. We're all different, aren't we? Nicky Gumbel, a well-known Christian gentleman who I think is the author of Alpha. I'm right in saying that. He quoted this. Perhaps take this on board. Be strong, but not rude. Be kind, but not weak. Be bold, but don't bully. Be humble, but not timid. Be confident, but not arrogant. Do you know, going back to that New Year's Eve morning, I'd been in the men with the men praying, so I'm in a good place. I get home and there's a knock on the door and it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Hip, hip. You'd all say that when they knock on the door. But just listen about being a light. I spend the next half hour, Emily, the daughter's upstairs, listening to the conversation. And I'm, to some extent, arguing with them. And there's two young ladies with a baby in the pram. And as I'm there for half an hour, and I'm talking about there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, I was overcome with compassion. The girls on this cold winter morning are going around each door, proclaiming their faith. Internally, I asked myself a question. Had I been compassionate with them? Had I truly been a light pointing the way? Or was I just trying to win an argument? Do you even answer the door if a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door? And if they do, would you know what to say? It can be the same at Halloween. Keep your windows closed and don't get anything to give the children, because we don't want to be a light, do we, in darkness? Yes, we do want to be a light. Do you know, as I said goodbye to those ladies, I went into the kitchen area at home. Justified me not inviting them in because Anna, my wife, was poorly. But that wasn't right. And I prayed for them. I prayed that the words I said would have fallen on good ground. I prayed that I'd been an encouragement. I was trying to point them to the way, the truth and the life. Jesus encourages us with these words. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. He sent me and he sent you. Influence. Perhaps you're a person this morning who changes their opinions to the group that you're in. There's a word for that. It's a chameleon. A chameleon's a lizard, did you know? I knew that because I googled it this morning. I wasn't too sure it was an animal or what, but it's a lizard. What a chameleon does, it does this. It changes its appearance to fit in with the background. It's doing that so it can get its supper. But in your own lives, you can go through life not wanting to rock the boat. You can have conversations at school, at work, wherever, the local shop. And you don't want to be ostracised, so you go along with the flow. You can be part of smutty talk and jokes and innuendos, because actually, it's all right, no one's listening. Well, actually, someone is listening. As I often say to myself, we've got an audience of one, and that's Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Don't blend in anymore. Don't just go back to your surroundings and say that's okay, because it's not. Romans 12:2 says these words, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Talk about blending in. How do you talk about each other? Do you know something? If you talk in a conversation about, and someone's talking wrong and they're slandering people, and you're part of that conversation, you can say, well, that's all right because I'm not joining in. But the very fact that you don't do anything about it means that you're agreeing with it. And I want to encourage you. I want to start 2017 with proper talk. With talk that brings light to situations and encouragement to situations. And that points them always to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. James 3:9-10 says this. This is strong words, church. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. We've worshipped our God earlier. We've given him all the praise. Do we go out of here and not talk in the same way? Let's be a people, a church that start with the way we mean to go on, known for bringing wholesome talk. A church is known for influencing with light and illuminating all around. Let's truly be a light on the hill, transforming our community one person at a time. Do you know, sometimes we can look at the Bible and think that's not relevant, but in Titus 2:11-12, Paul is talking to Titus and he says these words, so relevant for us today. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Well, 2017, Bridge Church, the grace of God has appeared that... I'm going to start again. Bridge Church, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and live a self-controlled, upright and godly lives at this present age. I'm going to ask the band to come up. But there's a simple question that I want us to take on. Do I influence anyone? Am I a light? You might even say, I don't even feel like a candle. But you've got a Christ who lives and dwells within you, who says, what Dave brought earlier, just be yourselves. Allow me to shine through you. How can I be that light? You say, I've already blown it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Build each other up. I look out and I see a people who God says you can do all things through him who strengthens you. And you might say, well, actually, Cookie, that's all right for you. But for me, you don't know me. I'm the worst of the worst. Or I just can't conquer this thing that keeps recurring in my life. Do you know, I've shown a clip, and I don't apologise for showing this clip, because I'm going to show it again. And it's a clip of a father and son. But this clip that you're going to see, it shows the incredible fortitude of a young man called Rick Hoyt. And Rick Hoyt is someone who was born with cerebral palsy. His mum and dad were told to terminate the pregnancy because the child won't live. The child's born. And they see, just getting about the business, that these little eyes of Rick, as a little baby growing, were following them around the room. And they recognised that there was life behind the shell of a body. So what happens, and what you're going to see, is dad takes little son, who's now grown up, on adventures, triathlons, the Ironman in Hawaii, which basically is a 2.5 mile swim. It's a 127-mile bike ride, and it's a marathon of 26 miles. And you know, what's really easy is this, to focus on the dad. And often the ministry comes about the dad carrying. But I want you to look at the son. The son has overcome the challenges of his life. He has not remained in that state of, I'm just going to wait till I die. He has done, I think it's about 280 of these triathlons. Look at the joy on his face as he faces incredible obstacles. You know what he's really saying? Be a light, be an influence. I am. I teach others that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, giving his life to God some years earlier. Do you know, we can, church, individuals, put limitations in our life, excuses in the way, but we need to put our intentions into actions. I love the fact that there, Rick Hoyt, as Junior Rick, has got that unbridled joy at finishing. Now, it's easy to focus on the dad because he looks like he's putting the effort in. But you imagine sitting in the place where you're being on 2.5 miles on the water and then 127 miles on a bike, on the front of the bike, in sweltering heat, not able to move. And then the marathon to end it. What courage. What an inspiration. It's time, church, to stop being immature. We need to put that behind us. We need to be a people who say we've got a commission on our lives to be a light in our families, with our friends, in our church, in our work, in our school, our college, wherever. They're all underdogs in God's kingdom. If we are truly going to be and become the church that God is asking us to be, the bride of Christ, the light, the example, we need to take some actions.